Lecture 24. Pylos, 425 BC, A Test of Leadership.
In this lecture, I plan to deal with the Athenian success at Pylos in 425 BC. This was a turning point in the war, and it allows me to bring together the threads of the previous four lectures. I've discussed the waging of the war in northwest Greece, which by 426 BC the Athenians had won, the fighting in northern Greece, that is in the North Aegean and the Chalcidice, Mytilene, the Hellespontine regions, that is in the Athenian home waters and the Athenian possessions and spheres of influence. And I took that fighting down to about the same time, 426 BC, where the Athenians managed to maintain their own there, but they do have long-term problems, notably rebellions they've contained at Olynthus, the ever-ambitious and restless Perdiccas II of Macedon, and the Athenians had the area more or less in control, but really had not won decisively in their own area. The second point I want to make in this lecture is that the campaigns that resulted in the triumph at Pylos also allow us to look at the issues of finances, the leadership, the ability of the assemblies, both in Sparta and Athens, to make decisions. That is, all of the ramifications of the Peloponnesian War I discussed in two lectures. We're able to see these factors at play in this very decisive year of 425 BC. And so 425, the campaign at Pylos, really allows us to focus all of these issues of the first stages of the Peloponnesian War. Well, let's start for a moment and see where the two sides were and why they ended up in this strange position on the shores of Messenia, Pylos, which is not the most obvious of places. There is a battle fought in that bay in 1827 where the French, British, and Russian fleet smashed the Ottoman fleet that helped give the modern Greek state its independence. But otherwise, this is a rather remote place on the western shores of Messenia. That is a district of that's part of the Spartan state. And how a decisive battle got to be fought here is an issue that we really need to address. Well, from the Spartan viewpoint, by 425 BC, the war hadn't gone particularly well. In the northwest, their allies, the Corinthians, Sicyonians, and Megarians particularly, had essentially been defeated. The Athenians pretty much had the western waters under their control, and they now were intervening in Sicily, much to the distress of the Corinthians. And in 425 BC, the Athenians were doing quite well in the west. And I'll reserve those campaigns for a later lecture as part of the background for the decision of the Sicilian expedition. On the other hand, the Athenians had been severely hurt in their home areas. Olynthus was in rebellion, defied the Athenians. Perdiccas II, at least most of the time, was nominally allied to the Spartans. And the revolt of Mytilene, while it had not resulted in a major group of rebellions in the eastern Aegean, certainly pointed out Athenian financial weakness. So the Spartans still had some reasons to hope that they could win this war. The one great achievement there were two achievements they had to their fame by the opening of 425 BC. The previous year, they established a colony at Heraclea in Trachis, and that's at the western approaches of Thermopylae. They successfully put a colony there, and that colony was a base that could be used to either mount new offensives into northwest Greece or to move forces across Thessaly into northern Greece and reinforce the rebellion at Olynthus. Clearly, the Spartans had one or maybe both of those strategies in mind at the opening of 425 BC. They also had to their fame the capture of Plataea. Now, Plataea strategically didn't have much significance. It was a border town just on the Boeotian side of the frontier with Attica. Plataea had been an Athenian ally since about 519 BC, where they had a treaty of alliance. The Plataeans were the only people to come to the rescue of the Athenians at Marathon. They fought side by side with the Athenians at Marathon. And in 479 BC, the great coalition army of the Greeks defeated the last Persian field army in Greece at Plataea and swore oaths to maintain the freedom of the Greeks. These city-states had their names inscribed on a great serpentine monument, which was dedicated at Delphi, and eventually ended up becoming a park decoration at the city of Constantinople, and has a long and unfortunate history in Constantinople, where it now is just a rather mangled monument, which most tourists look at and move on.